First Peter chapter 5. Last week we looked at the topic of healing. This week I want to look at the topic of thinking. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5:7 is a wonderful verse. It says to casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's a great verse. We looked at it quite often. I was thinking about this verse and I was saying, what does it mean? Where do you do this? Like, where do you actually cast your care upon God? Where do you do this? Do you go outside in an open field and throw papers in the air or dust or rocks in the air? Or do you, you know, I don't know. Do you run through the park in your underwear? I don't know, whatever. Let's hope that's not the answer. Where do you do it? And the answer is quite simple, really. It's in your mind, right? It's in your thinking. That's where you do casting. Where do you cast things on God, knowing he cares for you? It's in your mind, right? That's where you finally take it and let it into his hands, and then don't take it back to yourself. It's not a physical casting, obviously, we know that, right? So it seems to me that, you know, I was appreciate what you were praying, Advij, about trying to understand and get that healing. Where does that understanding happen, right? It's in your mind, right? If there are roadblocks to anything, they're in our mind, right? That's where they happen, right? And I want to look at that specifically today to try to help us to understand how to deal with those things, how to get rid of those roadblocks that might be preventing us from believing God's word. Right? So thinking, as we know, here Peter says, you know, cast out, well, yeah, okay, I'll cast it. What does it mean? First, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a section of scripture I want to look at today. Second Corinthians chapter 10. It says in verse 1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not physically, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's a really, really great section of scripture when you think about the topic of thinking. Stronghold is that's a great word. The word stronghold is like a castle or a fortress, right? Why do armies or people build strongholds and strong walls and castles? It's to prevent the enemy from attacking, right? That's why you build a stronghold. That's why it's not called a weak hold. It's called a stronghold, right? It's not easy to get into that kind of thing. It's not easy to break through a stronghold to get in. Otherwise, it would be called a weak hold and not a stronghold, right? But here, it's interesting. Where are these strongholds that it's talking about here? Because here the stronghold is not being developed to keep the enemy out, right? At all. It's the exact opposite here, isn't it? How do these strongholds get there, right? Here, it's talking about weapon through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination. So it's talking about the mind. It's talking about strongholds that get developed in our mind, right? That here it says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? It's us having developed strongholds in our mind that are against the knowledge of God. And think, you know, if you really sit down and think about this for a while, right? It's a stronghold, right? It is not easily eliminated, right? How does a stronghold get developed in a person's mind, right? And really, it's quite simple, and it has to do with repetitively thinking unbiblically. If I repetitively think unbiblically in an area of my life, in an area of my life, keep thinking this way, eventually I develop a stronghold, right? Very hard at that point for me to eliminate that. It's a stronghold. It's not a weak hold. It's strong. It is hard for an enemy to break it down, right? The definition that I saw of this talking about this was of the arguments and reasonings by which a disputant endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. And here, unfortunately, the opponent is God, right? Because it's talking about exalting itself against the knowledge of God, right? It's things that are actively in our minds that are against what God's word says. And we may not even realize that they're there, but after years of thinking in a certain way, we've developed strongholds. And we sometimes like having those strongholds and are quite happy with them, right? What do these strongholds do? Again, if I think something unbiblically and I've developed something, then basically I am saying that my knowledge is better than God's, right? And it falls right into the whole thing of exalting man and someone being wise in his own conceits or leaning on our own understanding. All those things are in the same category of stronghold. It's something that I've built. I know better in this category, so that's what I'm going to think. I don't care what the Word of God says. And we don't actively go through this in our mind, right? We may not do that, but it just happens that way, right? It's called a stronghold. The word imaginations here is the word logismos. It's an interesting word, and it occurs a few times in the other versions of it in the verb form logizomai. Remember, we'll look at a verse in a minute with that. But it's reasonings, and reasonings are it's a word that's very much related to mathematics, right? Because of this, because of this, and this, then this. It's logical. It's very logical. 2 + 2 = 4. Although I heard in schools today that isn't the case anymore. But anyhow, 2 + 2 is supposed to equal 4. It's a logical. You basically sit down and you reason it out. Okay, this happens, then this happens. Therefore, this. That's what the word means, right? That's what imaginations are here. So here it's talking about reasonings developed that we have developed in our mind. It's springtime. I always get sick in the spring. Spring comes along, I'm going to get sick. This happens. When this happens, this always happens to me. Therefore, when this happens, this is going to happen. When I go to God for this, I don't get the result. When I go to, you keep thinking these things in your mind, and guess what happens? You build a reasoning, a way of reasoning and logic that becomes a stronghold that is very hard to get rid of, right? That's what the word means. Now the great thing here, God says, what does God say in verse 5? Do these things? Casting down, right? That's what the word casting down is, the Greek word. It means to demolish, right? It is not easy, God knows, it's not easy to break a stronghold. So the word he uses here is demolish, right? Demolish it. It means to eliminate the stronghold in our mind, get rid of it, right? And how are we supposed to do that? Bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Right. And again, in the previous verses, it says this is a weapon. See, the weapon that you have at your disposal is to think about what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, what we have in Him. That, as God has said, is a weapon for you to demolish the strongholds in your mind so we can believe God. Right. And the mind picture I have here is you guys ever see that video game? I know some of the kids are going to laugh. This is what's that game there? Minecraft, right? Minecraft, where where you have a picture of a guy. It's like there's these rocks all around you, and your guy's constantly hitting away with like a pick or something, right? Knocking away the rocks until you break your way through, right? And that to me is more of a accurate mind picture than actually blowing something up with dynamite, because apparently the dynamite thing doesn't seem to work in these strongholds, right? Because if it could be limited like that, but they're strongholds, so it takes time to pick away at it sometime until you actually eliminate the stronghold in your mind. And here God says, you want to pick away at strongholds, bring your thoughts to the obedience of Jesus Christ, right? The way he thought, what he's done for us, right? And that is the reasoning that we're to develop. I call it the new math, right? Get rid of the math that you developed that causes strongholds and develop the new math, which is based on Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. That's what it says here, right? That whole, remember the idea of the armor and strongholds and defense is quite strong in the New Testament. How about Ephesians? Remember it talks about Ephesians? Put on the whole armor of God. Remember the armor? Right, we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is the armor in the whole section? Word of God, right? Shield of believing, feet, loins, gird, truth, loins, gospel of peace. All talking about putting on the word of God. That is the armor that you use to demolish strongholds in our minds. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, Jesus Christ, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have believing or faith and doubt not, you shall not only do with this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Shall not doubt. Where do you doubt? Right. What is the organ of doubt? Your mind. Right. You see how important what we think is? Here, the Word of God says that if we do this, then this will happen. If we don't, doubt. Where do you doubt, right? In your mind. There's a great record in Matthew. Look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14 that illustrates this. It's a great record. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, this question always amazes me. It's got to be one of the silliest things to ever say. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come out of the water. What if it was a devil spirit or something? Right? Anyhow, that's my... And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he's walking on the water, okay? You got to sit there and kind of imagine this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Right. See, Peter couldn't have stopped in this situation. There's no indication that Peter could have stopped the wind from showing up. No, right? The wind was there. Right? He saw the wind. The wind was there. Peter wasn't going to stop the wind. But clearly from what Jesus Christ says here, right, he could have stopped himself from considering it. He could have stopped himself from thinking about it, which is why Jesus Christ says to him, why'd you doubt? Jesus Christ wouldn't have never said to him, why did you doubt, if it hadn't been possible for him to not doubt? Yes? Right? So guess what? He could have controlled his mind to keep believing in that situation. Yes? That's what it says. Isn't that what it says? Why did you doubt, O you of little faith, little believing? So guess what? There was nothing. Peter was in total control of continuing to believe God in that situation. And all it had to do with was what he was thinking. He chose to let that wind and seeing it influence his thinking. That was his decision. No one made him do it. No one made him sink. He sank. Otherwise, Jesus Christ wouldn't have confronted it by saying, "Why'd you doubt?" Otherwise, he would have said, "Oh, we know this happens. It could have been your childhood. You had no control over it. You know, you have certain strongholds in your mind. I understand that. That happens to all of us. Don't worry." That's not what he said. He said, "Why'd you doubt?" Right there in his mind. He could have kept believing. He allowed the doubt to enter into his mind. If he didn't, it's possession, isn't it? He was in full control of it. Stronghold. That's why it's called a stronghold, right? It's not easy, but it is possible to demolish it. Right? Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. Sometimes we're not as willing to confront ourselves as honestly as Jesus Christ confronted him or confronts us in the Word, right? That's why the Word is great. I think I know the Word is the best thing to reprove us. The Word, it means everything is in the Word of God to bring to our mind and to reprove us. I read the Word many times, you go and you say, "Oh man, you're stupid in what you're thinking. Stop thinking that." Well, look what it says here. You know, you're talking there, sitting there with your mind and your desk and you're reading, and you go, "Stop thinking what you're thinking. This is what it says." And that's why it's great. It's a great reproof. But if I don't stay in the Word regularly, I am not going to get that reproof, and I'm going to fall back on my strongholds, which I've developed, and I rather enjoy having them. Thank you very much. You know, Mark 5:21. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and that she may live, that she may be healed, and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And the record picks up again in verse 35. He heals somebody in the middle. Just a little healing happening there. We'll skip that. Verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" See, it's like the wind, right? Just like the wind that Peter saw or heard or felt. Here, this man says, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore." And I love the next verse. It says, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Right? The man had the choice. You can let the news, the wind, and all those things affect your thinking. That's your choice. And here Jesus says to him, as soon as he heard it, because he knew what it could possibly do to the man. Right? He knew that. So as soon as he heard it, the Lord's great, right? As soon, he goes, "Don't be afraid. You believe. You keep your mind where you have it right now. Don't change it." Right? It's up to him. What happens to daughter? Right? We might as well read it. It's worth reading. Thank you. "And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." Do you think that laughing, "Aha, you're an idiot, what the hell's wrong with you?" You think that might have been more wind for the guy? Right? More things to think about, right? And his Jesus Christ solution, and this should be the exact solution we use when wind comes in. "But when he had put them all out," he just said, "Get the hell out of here," right? And that's what any kind of odd thought, any kind of fallback reasoning you've developed over years of thinking unbiblically, you just say, "Get that out of here. What does the Word say? And if I don't know what the Word says, then I'm done," okay? You think Jesus Christ would have turned back the adversary in the garden if he had not known what the Word of God said? He would have walked all over him, right? But he knew, "It is written." He came back with, "It is written. I know what the Word of God says. You get lost." That's exactly what Jesus Christ did to these people. Get out! Right. Same thoughts. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in with her where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. He charged them that it should, that no man should know it, and commanded, oh, give her something to eat, she's probably hungry. I love the simple things in God's word, right? God didn't have to put that in there, but he did. She's hungry, give her something to eat. Well, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Where does fear come in? When he told her, be not afraid, where does the fear come in? In your mind, right? It's in your mind. Did you ever get up in the middle of the night and you had either a bad dream or something and you feel a little frightened, you know, that happened to me, you know, you get a little, you have some weird dream and you get up and you're a little bit frightened, you're a little bit nervous, maybe, you know, you look around the room and hope no one's looking at you, looking back at you, you know, that kind of dream. And then you get up, and then have you ever been able to change your mind so that peace is restored and you go back to sleep, right? What happened? What did you do, right? It's powerful, isn't it? I mean, if you keep going down this line of thinking, you can go a certain way. If you go down a different line, and all it is thinking, right? What you choose to think. That's why it may not surprise us to think the world is after your mind, right? The world is after our children's minds. Why? That's where you believe, right? That's why I keep warning the kids. You know, I tell them all the time, be careful what you listen to, what you hear, what you consider, what you watch. You be careful, because the world is after your mind, right? And God wants your mind. He wants your heart. He wants it to be rooted in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Right? Matthew 13, verse 13. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. That's how you get information. You see that? That's pretty simple. You see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. And here Jesus Christ said, if they actually were seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears, they would understand. Right? It's nothing complicated for us. I just got to make sure that what I choose to see and what I choose to hear is what gives me understanding, right? And should be converted, and I should heal them. And then he goes on to talk about the parable of the sower and the seed. Remember, in the various responses to God's word, and the great response to God's word was those people who had heard the word of God and understood it, right? They understood it, and therefore they were able to believe it, right? Look at, and then the fruit was produced because they understood it. Matthew 18. When I was looking at verses in this for this sharing this morning, I just went through Matthew. I just went through it, you know, kind of reading every confrontation Jesus Christ had with people and what he said and what they said back to him. I'm just reading through it. And so often it was quite simple. Jesus Christ was just taking these people and saying, okay, what are you thinking? You know, where are you going? Here's what you ought to be thinking. Why aren't you thinking this? Why are you thinking that? Right? I don't think we look at that record where, we don't look at it, where Peter was thinking about, and he confronted Jesus Christ, you're not going to die? Right, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're thinking the things that are, you're not thinking the things that are of the world. You're thinking the things of the world, not the things that be of God. Right? So in that particular instance, it actually decided who Peter was serving. Right? By thinking the wrong thoughts, he was serving the adversary. And Jesus Christ confronted him. You're thinking the things of the world. That kind of thinking makes you serve the devil. Don't you serve him. You think what the word... See, it's all about where's your mind at? Where do you keep your mind? Where do you allow your mind to go on a day-by-day basis? Am I keeping my strongholds, or am I actively picking away at it, like that creature in Minecraft? The pick. cutting away at those things so that I think what the Word of God wants me to think more consistently, more regularly, right? What am I doing? In Matthew 18, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Where whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is childlike believing? What, you know that expression we always use? Childlike believing. Right? What is that? Childlike believing. Why does a child, when they're younger, believe so easily? Right? What's that? No doubt. Why is there no doubt? Because they haven't had the time to repeatedly put unbiblical patterns of thinking in their mind yet. The strongholds aren't there yet necessarily, right? You build strongholds, don't you? Yeah, there are certain strongholds that we're born with, I know that. But there are certain, you generally speaking, you build strongholds. And kids, all I've ever heard when they're kids is they're, my dad and mom feed me, they take care of me, they love me, they hold me, they hug me, you know, they put me on, when I cry, they pick me up. And all that leads to ways of thinking that lead to great confidence and trust, right, in their parents. They just believe you. That's childlike believing. But as we get older, teenagers and older, now we have the privilege to build strongholds that cast, you know, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Because we've allowed information in repeatedly that is unbiblical, again and again and again. And that ends up making strongholds. Now we have to choose to allow the information in that demolishes them bit by bit and get rid of them. In Romans chapter 12. See, people are so concerned about their physical life. We all work out and do exercises and all this stuff. Very few are concerned about their thought life. And what to do about that, and what to think about regularly, and how to make ourselves think that regularly, right? You know, memorizing scriptures, or reading God's word, or taking the time to speak in tongues and think quietly about what verses mean to us, and, you know, repeatedly, regularly, planned thinking, you know, planning what you think, you know. Remember the old expression, most people don't think about what they think about? It's true. We just let the world feed us. Romans 12 is really cool along that line. Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? That first part in the Working Translation, Reverend Cummins translates it as, do not be fashioned by this age. You know, Peter, you shared with me once about how that's a passive verb right here. It's a passive verb. You don't have the option, right? If you don't do something, you will be fashioned by the world. It's a very frightening verse, right? The frightening passive nature of this verse is startling. If I don't actively choose to renew my mind, I will be fashioned, molded by the age. That's what happens. The same thing with the Word of God, and the verse renewing your mind, the transforming of the renewing your mind is also from the inside out. You go to God's Word, and guess what happens? You end up believing Him. It works both ways. You have the choice, just like Peter had the choice in all those situations, or Jesus Christ, the guys he ministered to, the parents, they had the choice. You always have the choice. You got to decide what choice you want to make. In Romans chapter 6, the verse was used, the word logizomai was used, and it's used in the first command that is given to the believer in the New Testament, in the epistles, and it's in Romans 6:11, a verse we've read many times over the past few months, but let's read it again. Likewise, reckon ye also, the word reckon here is that word, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? So, you know, just like in 2 Corinthians 10, it talks about the imaginations, the reasonings, that we've developed arithmetically, you know, this happens and this happens, the unbiblical ones. God says the ones that I want you to develop are these ones. This is the law, the new math here. This is what he wants you to do. He wants you to be, reckon yourself, logic it out, figure it out, reason it out, that you are dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The broken body, the shed blood, our Passover, the promised seed, the returning one, our identification with him, all those things that are in God's word tied to Jesus Christ are the things we logically sit down and say, okay, if I identify with him, that means that I'm not suspect to the things of the world, because I'm seeing, you see how you sit down, you logic it out, you reason it out, and then you develop the thought patterns that are based on God's word. And then when the other ones come in, you know, the stronghold that you now build is one that isn't exalting itself against knowledge of God, but it's directly in line with the knowledge of God, and those are the strongholds we want, right? Right? That's when the fiery darts won't penetrate, because the stronghold now is based on it is written, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, I have this thing I do in my car. You know, I have the Bible on my phone, the audio Bible on my phone. And sometimes you work a full day, 8-9 hours, whatever you do, and you get in your car. You know, I don't really feel like listening to the Bible. I'm tired, right? My mind is tired, and I feel like, oh, I just maybe put the radio on or something. And, you know, it's fine. I'm not no problem with that. But I've found, this is my personal experience, I've found that when I listen to the word, and that's just something I choose to do in my life, it takes a few minutes, but after a few minutes, I feel refreshed, right? I can't explain it to you. I just know that's the way the word of God works. It never takes from you, right? It gives to you. It blesses you, and it's just the way the word works. That's Romans 12:2. That the word refreshes you. I don't know why. I mean, maybe I'm not hearing every word he's saying something. That's fine. It doesn't matter. But actively choosing what goes through our minds, you know, like we hear some of these, you know, movies that come out, and some of them, you know, are directly from the pit of hell, really, if you think about it. You know, they're fully orchestrated by people who are ungodly, written by ungodly people, and for feeding ungodliness of the world, right? And so that's the way they are. That's just a fact, right? Now, I can choose to entertain those things. That's up to me, right? Same with books or whatever, right? I can choose. It's always our choice. I find that, you know, in 2 Corinthians 3:5, let's read that. Let's start with verse 4. And such trust have we through God, through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think, the same word, anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So God says the reasoning I want you to have is that I'm your sufficiency, right? Don't keep thinking that you're going to take care of yourself. That's not logical, godly reasoning. God says, don't do that. Think this. I want you to think that I'm your sufficiency, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, it's the same word, logizomai, accounting. He reasoned it out that God would be able to raise him from the dead. Abraham reasoned, he figured that out, he logicked that out, he reasoned it out. He said, yeah. You see, he must have spent some time thinking about it, because that's his only son, okay? There's no robot in the world that just says, yeah, no problem, I'll crucify my son, no problem. He thought that through, okay? And he counted that God was able to raise him from the dead, right? He logicked it out. So the things that you can reason out from God's word for ourselves, and what is it? It's just a matter of sitting down and thinking what the word says. What does it say? Oh, okay, it says this. It says that I am seated, okay, it says that I can identify with him. Okay, it says that if I spend time figuring out to discern the Lord's body properly, then I won't get sick, and then I can get deliverance. That's what it says, right? but I got to sit down, I got to think that thing through, right? So that when the next time everybody in my office is sick, I'm not expecting to get sick, right? Or whatever stronghold we happen to have, right? Or when I don't have enough money to pay for something, that I'm not freaking out, right? Whatever it is, whatever the logic and the reasoning of life that I've built in my mind that allows me to go down there, I want to demolish and replace with the word. And then it says, you're at peace, peace that passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Man, what a great place to live. You're joyful, right? That washerwoman, God's bank ain't busted yet, remember? Right? She was joyful. And she goes, oh, I finally understood. Anyway, I wish I had the poem here. We'll close in Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4. You know, we use a lot of different expressions to think, a lot of different phrases to describe what I'm talking about. Remember the teaching on God inside-minded, right? That whole idea of thinking or partakers of divine nature, right? The whole idea of being God inside-minded, thinking what God wants us to think, or put you on the mind of Christ. There are a lot of expressions in the Word that are oriented exactly towards what we're looking at here. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Here's all the options. If you want to have an option, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are strongholds that are worth building. Strongholds worth building are those based on God's word. You know, it says in the New Testament, be instant in prayer. It doesn't say be instant in unbelief, right? Or be instant in anxiety. It says be instant in prayer. God says, you got a problem? Instant in prayer. Immediately take it to me, right? Don't spend the time to go down the road of getting all anxious and worried about it. And it would be really foolish to preach or teach any of this stuff if the things that God was telling us to think were based on psychology or Freud, which is that whole line of thinking which parallels godly thinking, the evil side of it, where God, you know, they teach you in the world, just think this and this is what you'll become. That's not true, right? That's a lie, and you hear it all the time. You know, follow your heart is another version of that, right? Just think this, you can be what you want to be. That's not true. Is that true? Can you be what you want to be? No, you can't. That's a fact of life. But that's what I teach you. You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want. That's not true. Right? I can't be a gorilla. Right? You know, the whole point is, this is based on promises made by God who is reliable. He says, you can think this, and this is what will happen. That you can count on. That's why this thinking, it's not some kind of Freudian maneuver to trick you into, it's based on the creator of the heavens and the earth who says, you can think this, and I will honor my word, and I will bring it to pass. I want you, he says, to reason out and logic out all that Jesus Christ has done for you, and those are the strongholds that he would have us build in our minds so that we can faithfully trust him and eliminate unbelief, doubt, worry, and anxiety from our lives, and live peacefully and joyfully. Amen? Amen. God bless.